We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
These headlines about budget deficits jumping 23% over the last year. I mean, it never surprises me if Democrats kind of roll their eyes at that and act like it's not a big deal. But Republicans, you know what? We run around talking about fiscal responsibility. At some point, we've got to live up to that. Congressman Denver Riggleman, who is the Republican who represents the 5th Congressional District, is with us this morning. So what's your reaction to that? I take it you are not happy about it and you are actually going to stand up and say something about it.
Yeah, I mean, we just heard it looks like, the first time we did the caps negotiation, they were $176 billion over the negotiated caps. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to look more like $300 billion. Mm. And at some point, you can't support that type of sort of over the top, out of the negotiated sort of cap, you know, left right boundaries. I just think at this point, as a Republican, as somebody who's worried about a $22 trillion plus debt now, it's something I'd have to vote against at this point with the way the caps are looking.
So is there any way to get right with these numbers? It sounds like it's so completely out of control that, you know, especially with a divided Congress, there isn't a way to rectify this.
I think it's going to be very difficult, and I think the compromise is going to go down towards the one-to-one spending with non-defense funding and defense funding. I think also we got to look at that 70 to 75% of our actual issue is on mandatory spending, not discretionary. And that's the thing that scares me. How do we get our arms around Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and the mandatory spending based on the fact that if we listen to, you know, any type of analysis on that, if we listen to the CBO or we listen to some other, you know, think tanks on this, if it becomes insolvent, right? And when I say insolvent, you're talking about where it just can't pay its bills. What do we do about it? And I think that's the fear, is I still don't hear anybody talking about how do we balance mandatory and discretionary funding and where are those lines? And that is, and by the way, the Republicans aren't really involved in the debate because right now we're sort of shut out of the real negotiations and conversations on it.
For folks who haven't paid close attention over the years to this, the two different budgets, the discretionary spending and the mandatory spending, what makes up the mandatory spending?
So mandatory spending is every single social program that
the popular stuff.
Yes.
The stuff that nobody wants to touch.
Nobody wants to touch. And it's pretty amazing that that's the 70 to 75%. Even if you look at, say, you look at the discretionary funding and you look at the raise in the calculated raise, right, the potential raise in defense budget from 719 to 750 billion. You look at that, you know, 31, now it's still a lot. I mean, 31 billion is a lot of money, but percentages of the 75% portion, you know, of the mandatory spending that we have, it's really a drop in the bucket, sadly. But our discretionary spending now, which is 25% of our budget, is rising so quickly, it's starting to be an issue. And so now you're looking at, okay, we need to tap this down. So everybody goes, oh, it's, you know, only another 50 billion. Well, at some point, if you have 10 people saying it's only another 50 billion, you got a problem. That adds up. You know, it's basic math. And I sort of scratch my head as somebody, you know, who's been in Congress 6.5 months, who came out of the business world, military intelligence world, and you're looking at some of these numbers that are unsustainable. And really, to be honest with you, they're just not rational.
Yeah. So you can say that, but the Treasury Secretary, Mnuchin, has told Congress he thinks that you all need to raise the debt ceiling. And then there's the political chess game that's going on. If you were advising the president, if you were trying to game through this so that he doesn't get hammered again, as Republican presidents always seem to be when there's a standoff here, what's the strategy to survive it?
Strategy is why are we hitting the debt limit so quickly? And I think we're looking at, you know, we have increased revenues, by the way, on the tax side. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, humbly, what are we at, a $4.4, $4.5 trillion budget? we have about $3.5 trillion in tax revenues. Think about that real quick. Just real quickly, that's an astounding number. At what point are you going to address the spending? And it has to be a message of this. Hey, we understand that there's a lot of people who need things, and we're not going to get rid of the social safety nets. We're going to not get rid of the social contract we have. However, there needs to be a time that we start to adjust the spending on this and other things that aren't necessary, sort of like duplication in government agencies, which I think I just read there's 32 or 33 different government agencies that do duplicative work. We have to start looking at cutting some of these, this agency funding, some of the duplicative work, and some of the pork that goes into many of these programs. And at some point, you have to address that. And there has to be some kind of study on what we rip out. And I think the first great step was the 125 billion that was actually identified as waste in the Pentagon, which I'm out of the DOD. I understand that waste. I understand the contractual waste. We have to look at actually looking at every single portion of our budget and have somebody do a line item sort of audit and see where we can actually save money. It has to happen now.
So you got to question the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, about the economy the other day. And most, if you look at the stock market and you talk to, you know, financial advisors, a lot of people are very green light bullish on America. What is your assessment?
Economy is great. You know, my question for the Fed was their lack of transparency and, for instance, them actually creating federal programs that compete with private programs, which I think is a huge foul. I just find it amazing right now that we're talking about, you know, what, $900 billion deficit when we have 3.4 to 3.5 trillion in tax revenue. And most of that deficit can be attributed to out of control spending. And I think at some point, you know, we're going to have to call the ball on it. I mean, it is right there now. I mean, if you look at 22, 23 trillion, was it 10 years ago, people were worried about, what, 5 or 7 or 9 trillion? Remember, right. We had 10 trillion people, right. Arms are in the air. At what point is a percentage of GDP do we say, okay, you know, we're really in debt. We can't balance our checkbook. And how are we going to get there? And I think that's some tough calls. And people have to make decisions as non-politicians, as actually servants. And even if they get elected out by saying the truth about the budget, they have to do it. That's our job as servants, not as careerists. Yeah. And that's what I'm taking. Because if people don't want to hear the truth about it, well, they can send me back to the distillery. They can send me back to the DOD where I work. That's fine. But we do have to have people that say, okay, that's enough. And again, if they're going to bust $300 billion on the caps, you know, we just can't vote for it.
It seems like the only thing that's going to make everybody wake up is for another big crash. And of course, the reaction to that in recent history is, oh, we got to spend more. So I think it's the exact opposite of what we should do. And you know, I remind people the Soviet Union collapsed not because we defeated them militarily, but because they had an economic collapse. And it seems like we're setting ourselves up for that. Yeah,
it's possible we are, sir.
Were your ears burning on Friday? Because real quick, I was up at Mountain Lake Lodge for the live show, you know, where they filmed Dirty Dancing and everything. And then I went out and found a big statue of Bigfoot on their property. And of course, you were the person. I said, oh my God, is this Denver Riggleman's district? And it's not, but I thought he's going to have
it's
this
right
thing.
Outside.
Yeah. Have you seen that?
I haven't, but I will tell you this. You know, Bigfoot is universal. It's just not district specific.
Right. So, well, this was very interesting. I bought a t-shirt with Bigfoot on it. It says Mountain Lake Lodge, and it was in part a tribute to you. So I just wanted to share that with you. Add that to your agenda if you're touring around the state.
You know, it's the number one conservationist is Bigfoot, man. Come on now.
Congressman Denver Riggleman, the Republican who represents the 5th District. We always appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you very much, sir.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.